This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottman, in for Colin Cowherd. Happy holidays. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you ate your proverbial off. Actually, now the opposite. Naggy little emotional afterwards. And of course, you know, I have the Raiders and the Cowboys to end the night. That made for good seeing. Welcome in. Hope you have had a good Thanksgiving. I'm one of these guys. Now it's okay to put up your holiday stuff. Let me get rid of the sound there. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Okay, so we got a great list of guests. Brandon Whedon's going to join us. Of course, he started at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys one of the times Tony Romo went down. Also, formerly with the Texans and the Browns. We'll get his thoughts on what was wrong with the Cowboys last night. Charlie Weiss is going to join us. We'll talk about not just last night, but also the New England Patriots and what they've been able to do with Mac Jones. And obviously, everybody's drawing the parallel to early in Tom Brady's career. Is that fair? And then Eric Wood's going to join us. We'll ask him. He's the color voice of the Buffalo Bills. Of course, played for the Buffalo Bills, retired as a Buffalo Bill. And we'll get Woody's thoughts, not just on the Bills, but on ultimately their two matchups with the Patriots and this Sunday's games. All right, I'm watching last night, and I want to make sure that I'm fair about this. Okay, it's really important that I'm fair. The last 2 years previous to this, with Dak, without Dak, the Cowboys hadn't beaten a team that ended the season with a winning record. They'd been bad against anybody who's any good. And so I think it's a fair barometer when you're looking at what they've done this season to say the Buccaneers lost. Granted, week one of the season was a good team. The Chargers win on a late field goal. I think the Chargers are a good team. Eagles have become a decent team, but I don't think anyone thinks their talent is at the level of the Cowboys. Same with the Panthers, same with the Giants. Same with the Vikings. They beat the Patriots in a close game. The Patriots have turned themselves into one of the kind of sneaky sleeper teams in the AFC. Of course, they didn't have Dak. And then when Dak comes back, they laid an egg with the Broncos, smacked the Falcons, scored 9 points against the Chiefs, and lost to the Raiders. So this year, looking like almost every year with the Dallas Cowboys, where unlike the past two, sometimes there's head-scratching losses and exhilarating wins. But I'm left watching last night's game, and again, I'm realizing you don't have CeeDee Lamb. You don't have Amari Cooper. You know, you did get Tyron Smith back, and they're so much better when they have that dude at left tackle. But you're playing against a Raiders team that, outside of the emotions of losing Henry Ruggs, they had to get rid of Henry Ruggs, who was a huge piece of what they want to do in terms of taking off the top of a defense. They lost their head coach and essentially their czar of football in John Gruden. They're coached by a guy who, although he seems like a very good guy and it's in a great story, everybody just keeps telling the same story. Man, he's so grateful to have the chance to be the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. But it's not like he's going to be a candidate for any job. They're coached by a guy. They're coordinated by a guy. They're just kind of held together here to keep from the brink of disaster while they got to figure out who's going to run this franchise at the end of this season and in the near-term future. And that's who the Dallas Cowboys lost to. Now, you can tell me that Dak was good enough to win, and I would say you're probably right. You know, you're probably right. He didn't kill you. And you could go back last week and say, well, when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, he didn't have his left tackle. He didn't have his star wide receivers. He didn't. Still scored 9 points. And for perspective, Aaron Rodgers took his team into Arizona, a team that before and since has proven to be one of the elite teams in the NFC. Like, we can all be deniers of the Cardinals in terms of their chances of winning a Super Bowl, but we're far enough into the season. We've seen what they've done to good teams and bad. With and without Kyler Murray, they've won football games. And go, you know what, Arizona, they may not be the best team, even though they have the best record right now, but they're a damn good football team. And Aaron Rodgers, without any sort of normal weaponry, with a completely sick wide receiver room, found a way to win a game. That's what the best of the best of the best do. They just find a way to win a game. I think I've said this before on this show and on many shows, Aaron Rodgers checks every box, even boxes that Tom Brady doesn't check, with the exception of one. Brady's teams find a way to win games. What is the point of playing a sport and we keeping a score if we don't find a value within winning these games? And the point about Dak is we all want him to be a superstar. We want him to be an MVP. We want him to lead the Cowboys back to the promised land because it's such a great story. You know, a guy who even Mississippi State passed on several times over, and then finally at their team camp, they're like, all right, fine, yeah, we'll take him. He goes from really a runner in college to a really good college quarterback who many people thought that's about the peak of what he gets. He's the third string quarterback, if not for Kellen Moore, who, by the way, is calling the plays right now. Kellen Moore gets hurt. Then Tony Romo gets hurt. And so when Romo goes down, is not going to play, and Dak's a rookie, he gets to run the ship of the most talented offense in the NFL, and they win 13 games. You know, last year, you bet on himself, gets a huge contract. Now, we love his leadership. Everybody likes Dak Prescott. There's nothing not to like about Dak Prescott. But here's the thing. It's just not great. You know? It's kind of par for the course for everything in the Cowboys. And it's really good. It's not great. Ezekiel Elliott is really good, but he's overpaid. He's not great. Amari Cooper, even when healthy, really good. He's not great. Mike McCarthy, they hired the resume there. No one thinks he's a great coach. He's a good coach, you know. Can't really manage a clock. Doesn't call plays. Not really sure what's going on, but he's a good coach. They're going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs again. They'll be fine. It takes great to win those games. It does. And it reminds me of, here we are Black Friday, and you got people scurrying about. And we get so caught up. And look, I'm just as guilty as you are. Right? Like, I have one kid with a TV in their bedroom. One kid. And it's like, man, do we really want the TV in the bedroom? But the TV is like my oldest TV, and it just went. And so when you start to, whether it's today or Cyber Monday, you're looking for a deal. Like, man, I got in this bad habit of, instead of looking for what's the best possible fit TV, how I want to do it, it's, ooh, I could save $350 if I get an out-of-box, you know, $700 TV. Yeah, you could also just go get a regular TV that's not out of the box for like $400 and put it up on his wall and be done with it. There's your Christmas present, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's birthday, you're done, right? Throw in a little Xbox S, which, like, yeah, everybody wants it. They still can't get it. Not because they're not make. I don't know what the deal is. The point is, you get that TV home that you got out of the box, and you're like, well, there's a reason that it was out of the box, right? There was a reason that somebody took it home and was like, nah, I'm going to take this thing back. Maybe it's too complicated to set up. Maybe it's hard to do the smart TV thing. Maybe it's, you know, it's the best of the best from 2 years ago, and there's all this new stuff. Whatever it is, there's a reason somebody took that sucker back, right? Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. There was a reason he was around in the fourth round. If he was out on the free agent market, I don't think he would have gotten what he got to sign with the Cowboys. There wasn't a hometown discount. Instead, there was like a hometown spike. But if you look at if you judge who's the best quarterbacks in the NFL, why would you consider Russell Wilson over Dak, even though Russell hasn't played as well? Like, because generally throughout his career, Russell has done great things, has found a way to win those games. Aaron Rodgers the same, Tom Brady the same. While Dak is really good and a really good leader and was a really good value. Now he's paid like the best, only he's just not the best. And just like if you want to say, well, I could have saved $50 on an inbox, very new, top of the line, you know, one of those 4K everything TVs. Instead, I went out of the box to save $350. And turns out that TV, pain in the ass. And not compatible with my bracketing that I had up over my fireplace or in a kid's bedroom, right? There's just something. There's a reason. There's a reason Mike McCarthy has left the Green Bay Packers, and they're better since he left. So I look at the Cowboys, and
I'm not necessarily disappointed, or maybe I'm doing the parenting thing. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. But the reality is, this is what we should expect. Right? The best of the best, could they use Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb? Hell yeah. Of course they could. That would help. But the best of the best, the Aaron Rodgers, they're MacGyvers back there. Well, we don't have Amari. We don't have CeeDee Lamb. All right, well, give me a stick of butter and just give me a dead body from the – give me somebody that was in the XFL and then stitch him together and put him in the X and then put Jimmy in the Y and let's go, right? Like, they just figure out a way. They just figure out a way. This is Mike McCarthy talking about the game.
28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say.
I mean, look, the penalties were bad, but the Raiders had a ton of penalties as well. Here's Jerry Jones talking about the Raiders' use of what he calls a throw-up ball.
Oakland took advantage of the situation. I call it throw-up ball. Right way to play a game like this. Just throw it out there and get a penalty.
166 yards of penalties. Yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, this will probably be arguably the most watched game other than the Super Bowl. And I hate it that it got down to just throwing the ball up and getting your penalties to get your big plays.
Here's Derek Carr on some advice he got from his former coach, John Gruden.
I think one thing I've tried to do this year, especially when 11 was here, you know, was I was going to be so aggressive. It leads sometimes to, you don't complete as many balls on a percentage chart or whatever. But Gruden used to tell me, don't ever take your arm out of the game. So when we call these things, let's rip them, you know. And so we saw some things on film where hopefully we get some looks. Hopefully we can get some one-on-ones down the field. And we were able to find some of those, you know, and have a, you know, an explosive day.
There is, by the way, an art to throwing that deep ball and throwing it just slightly short, right? It used to be when we were kids that you couldn't overthrow a guy. But, and this goes back to the Super Bowl and Emmanuel Sanders when Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew him by 10 yards. If you ask football people, they'll go like, not only did he miss, but he missed in the wrong distance. You're supposed to miss short there. Then in man-to-man, you get PI because the cornerback runs through you because he can't turn around to see the football as you come back for it. That's what Derek Carr did a great job of last night, is reading the coverage and actually in man-to-man. Yes, Jerry Jones is technically correct. It is throwing it up, but there's an art to throwing it just slightly short. If you don't complete it, that way you have the tendency is in man-to-man for the cornerback to overrun it. Right? You see Tyreek Hill get these all the time. It's not that Pat Mahomes can't throw it deeper. It's just not the smart place to throw it, or you get PI. But, like, look, we could go through the penalties. The Raiders had just, it was an overly over-officiated game. But that's not the reason the Cowboys lost. Was there a bad roughing penalty? Yeah. I mean, Micah Parsons is at, like, knee level, and Derek Carr's head drops to it and gets slightly bumped, right? And there's a bad PI penalty, whatever. But it shouldn't have been in that. We're looking at the final score. The Raiders had the game won several times over. Give up a kick return touchdown. Like, it should have been a Raiders easy cruise to a blowout. The Cowboys made it closer late than it really was and sent it to overtime. So let's not act like penalties won that game. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. There was a report that surfaced early in the week that if Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, after they played the game yesterday, he would be fired. Okay. The Bears didn't lose yesterday, which I guess it's a very good thing to not lose the Lions. And Matt Nagy wasn't fired. Was it an erroneous report? We'll dive in upcoming next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is The Herd. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. Hope you're having a really good Black Friday. Did you guys see the fight on the field between the Cowboys and the Raiders, not just during the game, but after the game? They're like shaking hands, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's like broing up, and then dudes start throwing down. It was interesting. I saw this story, and I thought it was just really interesting that the Chicago Bears, many have wondered why Matt Nagy would. You know, why the 180 that he made in terms of wanting to start Justin Fields. You know, because forever he had said, you know, this is the plan. George McCaskey instructed, you know, Matt Nagy to start Justin Fields when he decided to start Justin Fields. I mean, remember, even when Fields saw the field as a starter when Andy Dalton went down with a knee injury, Nagy insisted that Dalton would take over as a starter when he was healthy. So then in week five, you're like, wait, why did he name Fields the permanent starter? Why do you think? Because owners own. That's why. Owners own. So I have this kind of working hypothesis, which I talked to somebody in the Bears organization. They were like, well, there was no meeting that we're aware of that he was going to be fired, you know, after Thursday's game. So they win yesterday. They beat the Lions, kind of survived the Lions. And when they beat the Lions yesterday, it was kind of emotional after the game. And I think the guess is, and here's a reasonable guess, if there was no meeting, right, so there's no code red ordered, essentially. There's your Few Good Men reference for the day. If there was no meeting, then how did it come to be printed on patch.com? Granted, I know generally when you're looking for your sports news, you go to any of the notable websites, including patch.com. Because patch.com has whatever the local pothole situation is, school board updates, and apparently the future of Matt Nagy as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. But it was in a completely erroneous report. What's likely? What's likely? What's reasonable? For a franchise that's never fired a coach in season, what's a reasonable guess? Reasonable guess is that he's dead man walking. Everybody knows it. And somebody made a flippant remark to somebody else saying, you know, if you lose to the Lions, don't you gotta fire Nagy? Let's get to Jason Stewart with Herdline News.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Now, Doug, I don't know if you saw this, but Ole Miss won the Egg Bowl yesterday, right? They defeated Mississippi State 31-21. Ole Miss's record improves to 10-2 on the season, 6-2 in the SEC. Their 10 wins matches a school record. A big season for head coach Lane Kiffin, which leads to speculation as his stock rises. Does he leave and take the Florida or LSU job?
I mean, like, look, if he's offered him, he's going to take him. They're better jobs. But I also think that, and he'll run into this at Ole Miss. Like, there's a limit to what you're going to be able to do at Ole Miss. But, you know, quality of life, does quality of life ever play a factor? I don't think it does for Lane because he's not a native Mississippian and he hasn't been there long enough to truly dig in. But I do think, like, you win 10 games at Ole Miss, they build a statue out front. You win 10 games at LSU, and they're like, well, how come you didn't beat Alabama and win a national championship? So there's something to it. But you can't win a national championship at Ole Miss. You just can't. Not going to happen. So I think he'd take those jobs? If offered, yes. But I also think there is and we've all learned this in business. Sometimes you're better off somewhere that you have fun and that you fit. And Lane is a little bit more counterculture than he is culture. And that works at Ole Miss. Dude, Oxford is an awesome place. Like, if you're making $3-5 million, you're probably making, we'll make $4-5 million to coach football in a really cool college town. And you can buy a couple places on beaches somewhere else in the country. Like, you just coach, then when you decide to coach, you don't coach anymore and you go enjoy your life. Probably what I would do, but I also know that competitive guys get into coaching because they're super competitors, not necessarily for the money, and with that they'll want to take a Florida or an LSU job.
Now, what'd you think of this? Rick Pitino and the Iona Gales made MAAC men's hoops history yesterday when they upset number 10 Alabama, becoming the first Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference to beat a top 10 team ever. Up to then, every MAAC team was 0-119, I guess, top ranked teams. What's this say about Rick Pitino?
Rick Pitino's the best basketball coach of my lifetime, right? Like, Mike Krzyzewski is, there are other attributes to Mike Krzyzewski, which is a lot. Pitino is Aaron Rodgers and Brady, and Coach K is Brady, right? Coach K is He's won more. He's been the coach of USA basketball. There's certain regalness to it. And Pitino had that too, but obviously because of the NCAA stuff and some of the off-the-court things, it brings his reputation to a different place. But if you remember this about Rick Pitino, he took Providence to a Final Four, right? He rebuilt Kentucky into a championship team. Though it didn't work, he didn't figure it out because they didn't get Tim Duncan and they trade away Chauncey Billups midway through his rookie season. That was some of the first quality tanking we've ever seen when they had two first-round picks and they were trying to get Tim Duncan in the NBA draft lottery and they didn't get it. Like, he brought he embraced the three-point shot. He's been ahead of the curve in terms of conditioning, tanking. And he's an unbelievable in-game coach. Shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, look, he went to Greece and he won. It shouldn't be a surprise. It's more, is this where it ends? Does it end at Iona? Or does he take a chance at one more big school to turn around?
Now, finally, men's basketball coach at Michigan, Juwan Howard, says he will be at the football game in Ann Arbor tomorrow against number 2 Buckeyes. His quote is, "They're going to need me out there. I'm going to be out there loud, lose my voice, because I'm coming with the energy. I don't know if there's a 12th man in football, but I feel like I'm the 12th man."
I mean, I get it, like Michigan man trying to support Michigan men. But, yeah, it's a little cheesy. A little cheesy. I think it's going to be fascinating. You know, it's 10 years ago today was the last time Michigan beat Ohio State. And, you know, then you have my alma mater, our next guest alma mater, Oklahoma State, taking on Oklahoma. That's the Herd Line news. Let's bring in Brandon Whedon. We'll wrap that.
Yeah, well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line news.
Brandon Whedon joins us, and I want to talk some Dallas Cowboys. I want to talk some NFL, but you also cover college football, and we're a great college football player. And you took our alma mater to a Fiesta Bowl win over Andrew Luck and the Stanford Cardinal. What is that like to walk into the Oklahoma game, though, knowing, like, now it's 90-18-7, the mentality of, like, Oklahoma State finds a way to lose to Oklahoma every year. How do you get out of that mentality?
Well, I think you got to be aggressive. I think that's kind of been, in my opinion, the issue as of late, just a little conservative. And they've got talent down there. I mean, it's Oklahoma. They're a good football team. But, you know, this year, the way that Oklahoma State's played, particularly on defense, is as aggressive as they have been, coming after the quarterback, blitzing, just really being a dominant defense. That's a recipe, man. That will win, and that travels. So I think, you know, I think hopefully this year's a little different. This is a game that I think that Oklahoma State is built to win. Oklahoma's, you know, not really found an identity on offense lately, and Oklahoma State defense has been dominant. So, yeah, this game's bigger. It's just bigger than the rest of them. I mean, the week's bigger. I don't know. I always felt like I was prepared going into games and, you know, as far as watching tape and studying and all that. But I always found myself maybe doing just a tiny bit more this week of Bedlam, just because you get bragging rights for the rest of the year. And you know, you just don't really like those guys down there. So it's a big week for Oklahoma State. And, you know, a lot of guys' legacies will be kind of done by this game.
Okay, so when you had your great team, the narrative was, yeah, well, they won't be able to stop anybody, and that spread offense is, you know, only works in the Big 12. And this team is different. This team is built, the defense is off the charts good, but they're going to question the level of competition, right? In terms of who they played out of conference, how good the conference actually is. And then the offense has been kind of slow to catch up, some because the quarterback was out to start the year, he was injured, but some because they run it more than they throw it, and it takes them, you know, usually half the game to wear down the other team, and then, you know, in the second half, they're able to run the football and kind of beat you up late. Do you think they can compete at the very top in the college football playoff?
I think the question's on the offense. I think the defense is good enough to compete with with majority of the offenses across the country. I would say they're the big deal is if Spencer doesn't turn it over. With their ability to run the football game or football the way they have, you know, for the last really 5-6 games, you know, that you do that, you score 24, 28 points, you feel like that's enough to win games with that defense. So, yeah, I mean, I think they deserve to be in the conversation. I think they've shown, you know, pretty much week in and week out down the stretch here in the most important time of the year that they're playing their best football. So, yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's a biased take. I really do. You just turn on the tape or you turn on the TV and watch this team play. You know, the offense isn't flashy like you're used to seeing Oklahoma State, but they play complementary football. They take care of it. They run it. Eat a little clock, a little conservative. They know they have that defense. So it's just kind of a little bit more of a, you know, an NFL-type philosophy. With, you know, it's like these teams that have dominant defenses in the NFL, they know they don't have to score 50 to win. So it's it's taken me some time to get used to because I've watched every Oklahoma State game for the last, however many years, 15, 16 years. And, you know, we're used to seeing high-flying offenses and good defense, but the defenses still give up points. They've been pretty opportunistic, but we haven't seen a defense like this, and the recipe for winning has been a little bit different. But it's still fun to watch. They're a good football team. I think they can compete with pretty much anybody in the country.
Doug Gottlieb for calling us The Herd. Brandon Whedon is our guest. Of course, you started at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. They lose yesterday. They do send it to overtime. They had a nice comeback. And I realize that they have, you know, you have injuries for your two best wide receivers, and you're not going to look the same. But I don't know, is it unfair to go, hey, Aaron Rodgers didn't have his guys and he goes down and beats Arizona? You know, last week, I know they're depleted with injury, but 9 points against the Chiefs. Am I wrong to be disappointed in the Cowboys' offense and Dak Prescott's inability to win some of these games?
Oh, I mean, you said, I mean, it's you lose your two best receivers. I mean, that is a tough blow. There's no doubt. But with that being said, Ezekiel Elliott has been MIA, man. I mean, that dude kept, whether it's, it doesn't matter. I mean, the guy, I know he's beat up a little bit. I understand that. But, I mean, Tony Pollard has kind of been the horse for that team. You know, Dak hasn't played terrible. He's played pretty good football. You know, they're not winning these close games. And, you know, I don't know. I caught a majority of the game last night. I didn't catch the entire thing. But, you know, it sounded like, and from what I saw, just the plays I watched, I mean, just the offense had a hard time, you know, getting chunk plays in the passing game without CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper in there. So it's tough, but they got to get the run game going. You know, I mean, that's, in my opinion, the biggest deal. They got to find a way to run the football. It sets up everything they want to do. They love doing play action. Dak's good at play action. That's how they like to take their shots. So without the ability to run the football, I mean, like I said, Zeke has kind of been not, you know, not his normal self. And, you know, I think that's affected the offense more than anything. So, no, I mean, they're a good football team. They're a good football team. They need to pick it up or else the Eagles might slip up and catch them in that division. But they're a good football team. Just, you know, again, it's kind of, they got to be frustrated, you know, these close games and not finding ways to win.
When you watch Mac Jones and how they've kind of designed this thing, there's a team, you talk about complementary football, conservative on offense, outstanding on defense. Do you think there's a ceiling that's above just making the playoffs? Like, can that last in the NFL?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Mac Jones is, I mean, he's shown to be probably the best quarterback in this draft. And, you know, he's a guy that, again, he's like, I'll make those splash plays. It's not going to be, you know, sexy all the time, but it's just, you look up and he's, you know, 21 of 28 for 240 yards, two touchdowns and they win, you know, so. It's, you know, he's a solid player. They play really good defense. You know, they have the best coach of all time on the sideline, so that's going to give them an edge right there. And they're going to be prepared. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think they've got the makings. I think they're running the football effectively. You know, Ramondre, what's his name? Stevenson, I think. Ramondre Stevenson, he's shown to be a beast. So, yeah, I mean, they got a good recipe going. Everybody thought the sky was falling when Brady left. They had a couple years there, but, you know, I think Mac Jones is the answer. I think you keep these guys on defense together. It's a pretty good unit on that side. So it's, yeah, I mean, they're better than I anticipated with the rookie quarterback. I didn't anticipate that they would be this good so fast, but man, they're surprising a lot of people. And I think they're going to be. I think they're going to make a run. I'm not saying they're going to win at all, but I think they're going to be there late into the postseason.
Okay, help me out. Hey, Baker obviously now is under some pressure. His wife puts on Instagram, you know, like he showed great toughness. You know, like some of the other guys on the Browns need to get tougher. Like then he doesn't do the post game presser. He calls out the fans that booed him as the same ones they got to quiet down when they're driving. Like now he's with the knives are coming out. He's getting defensive, but the big one is his wife making a comment about questioning everybody else's toughness in that locker room. Whether Baker said it to her or not, that's going to be assumed, right? This is pillow talk. This is what they talk about when he's at home. Can you fix that if you're Baker?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can fix it. It's just not a good look. You know, there's been several examples of guys, families doing these types of things. I think it's a bad look. I mean, it's just one of the main negatives of social media in general. But, you know, that's – I don't know. I'd worry about, you know, taking her phone away and not literally, but, you know, just saying, listen, I mean, what we talk about, what we do, that's between us. You know, you can't spread that out for everybody, especially with the media, and they want to twist and take everything said and run with it. It becomes a story. So yeah, Baker has done a pretty good job lately of, you know, not lately, I guess, because of the O'Dell stuff, but in his career of avoiding distractions, you know, for the most part, he's got a little better. He's saying and doing a lot of the right things, but this one's tough because you know that people are going to speculate that, you know, like you said, he's telling his wife this stuff so that she puts it out there. It's just not a good look. It's tough. I mean, no man wants to be questioned on their toughness, and I think that's one thing of a lot of the guys in the locker room that, you know, are playing through injuries. You're like, look, dude, man, we know you're beat up, but I've played however many 11, 12 games, and I'm just as beat up as you are. So it's a bad look. It really is. I think it's just something that I'm sure that they regret. Obviously, she regrets it. She took it down. But, you know, think before you press in, man. This whole social media thing has kind of become a joke. And it's just a good outlet for the media to take stuff and create a story and blow it up. It's just not what locker rooms need, man. It's just one more distraction that you just don't really need right now.
Completely agree with you. Brandon, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Get after either some golf or some shopping. We'll talk soon.
Man.
All right, that's my boy Brandon Whedon, of course, first round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, starting quarterback of the Browns, Cowboys, and the Texans, and superstar quarterback at Oklahoma State. The FBI is committed to combating hate crime, seeking justice, and providing assistance to victims. Visit FBI.gov/hatecrimes for more information. The FBI is here to help, protecting our communities together, report hate crimes. The Bills kicked the crap out of the depleted New Orleans team yesterday. Kind of a tough team to figure out. We'll try and figure them out next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. So the Bills go and stomp the New Orleans Saints. But the Saints, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. Like, what was the Taysom Hill thing? I guess he's still the third quarterback. He's coming off an injury, but they extend him this week with a new contract. That's a dynamic I don't know. Obviously, they're completely banged up with injuries, too. But the Bills did get a win. They did look good. Here's Sean McDermott when was asked the difference between this week and Sunday.
We executed. We haven't always done that. I mean, we've gotten sloppy, I feel like, at times. And I felt like in the first half we were sloppy at times. And then we picked it up in the second half. So, listen, it's not always going to be exactly how you draw it up. But I expect more. I really do. And that's the standard that we have here.
I like it. I like it. I mean, there's a little, like, you know, what went viral throughout the week was Nick Saban talking about his team and college kids and how people aren't happy with a win because they didn't blow another opponent out. And he's basically like, you don't think these kids want to win? Is the college kids, whatever. And then on the other hand, you have Sean McDermott like, look, we have a standard here and we're not holding ourselves up to it. Now, some of it's the difference in college and pro, but some of it's also the real talk, the realness of what really goes on. And I think Saban, when you're in a locker room, it's the same thing, right? There's a standard you have to hold yourself up to. It's hard in the NFL because as much as in college you say both sides are trying, the difference in talent is not as great in the NFL as it's college, right? Like the reason Saban, you should never leave a great job in college is because it was Ohio State or Texas or Alabama, USC. When you're rolling, you have better players than the other team 9 out of 10 games. You might have the Bills have better talent and they're better at quarterback than many of the teams that they play, but their quarterback's still very relatively inexperienced. But the difference is not nearly as great. Like, when you're in Alabama, you can have 40 kids, 40 or 85, maybe even more, will play in the NFL on your roster. Whereas another team has five, you know, or none, you know, or 10. But a 4-to-1 ratio, you know, I mean, it's a massive upset when you win that game. I like that McDermott is pushing for more. I like that they're holding themselves to a higher standard. And I think it'd be fair to say Josh Allen has not lived up to that standard over the past couple weeks, although yesterday he did look the part. So it's the more you watch, the more you pay attention, the more you realize that what New England was able to establish, what Pittsburgh has been able to establish in terms of consistent, what Baltimore has been able to establish, a culture of like, hey, not playing well is not okay. Not doing the right things is not okay. Those great franchises, and frankly, it's the same thing in college, they hold themselves to a higher standard of like, well, you know, we lost that one, but we won another. Or, yeah, we won it, but we won it by three, but the most important thing is we won. Yes, it's important to win, but if you hold yourself up, this is a lot like process over result. You know, if your level of preparation, if your level of intensity, if your level of attention to detail is at a high level every week, if you prepare, then more likely than not, you're going to succeed more often than not. If you don't, the opposite is true. The opposite is true. Okay. There's a lot. There's NBA games kicking back off tonight. There's a huge college football weekend. I know Colin has his picks that he'll put online. I'll give you a couple of mine later on the show. Later on this hour, Charlie Weiss is going to join us. We'll ask him not just about some of the pro stuff. I want to ask him about that famous Bush push USC Notre Dame game and what it's like. Because does anybody have any idea what happened to Notre Dame after that football game? Anybody? Everybody remembers the game. Everybody remembers Charlie essentially got a huge contract extension after that game because we thought Notre Dame was back. What happened after that game? So we have Ohio State, Michigan, Bama, Auburn already had the Egg Bowl. We got Bedlam, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. We have so many. Oregon State this week. Oregon obviously coming off of a loss. Got a massive, massive number of games. I got some Cowboys stuff for you. I got some Lakers stuff for you. I got Eric Wood for you. I got picks in the weekend's games. I got I feel like you're walking into one of those stores today and like, we have everything for you. It's all on discount. That's what it is. And I'm a regular relative discount compared to Cowherd. Right? All right. Well, look, it's a mystery, this whole Justin Fields and Matt Nagy thing. And was Matt Nagy supposed to be fired after the game yesterday? And is it simply a fairly unimpressive win over the Detroit Lions, which is enough to save his job? We'll take a deep dive into the Second City's number one football team. Upcoming next, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.